Jeffrey Saslow is the author of the Wall Street Journal column, Moving On. It focuses on life transitions and often attracts wide media interest. Case in point. In September 2007, Zaslow attended the final lecture of Carnegie Mellon University professor Randy Pausch. Zaslow's column about the talk sparked a worldwide phenomenon. Tens of millions of people have since viewed footage of the lecture. The last lecture, the subsequent book by Pausch with Zaslow, was a number one New York Times bestseller, spending more than 110 weeks on the list. Jeff, a Philadelphia native, is a grad of Carnegie Mellon and got his start at the Orlando Sentinel. He moved to the Wall Street Journal for the first time from 1983 to 87. He wrote a front-page feature about a competition to replace Ann Landers at the Chicago Sun-Times. Jeff entered to get an angle for his story and won the job over 12,000 other applicants. He worked as a columnist at the Sun-Times from 1987 to 2001. Jeff's 2009 book about female friendship, The Girls from Ames, spent 26 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. Also in 2009, Jeff co-authored Highest Duty, the memoir of Captain Sully Sullenberger, who famously landed the U.S. Airways Flight 1549 in the Hudson River. Who could forget that image? Highest Duty debuted at number 3 on the New York Times list. In 2011, Jeff collaborated with Representative Gabrielle Giffords and her husband, veteran astronaut Mark Kelly, on their memoir, Gabby, A Story of Courage and Hope. We actually previewed that book on December 25th. Jeff's latest book, The Magic Room, A Story About the Love We Wish for Our Daughters, has just been published. It's a nonfiction narrative set in a small-town Michigan bridal shop. The book looks at the lives of a handful of brides and their parents who've journeyed to the store's magic room. Welcome, Jeff. Thanks for joining us today on the Book Report.
Oh, thanks, Lane, for having me.
The Magic Room is a book about love, but from a very unique perspective. How did you decide to construct the book around a bridal shop?
Well, I have three daughters. They're 22, 20, and 16. And I wanted to write a book about the love we all wish for our daughters. And I thought, well, you know, I write nonfiction. Where could I set such a book? And I thought maybe maternity wards or daddy-daughter dances. I was trying to figure it out. And my wife said there's something about a wedding dress. And so I thought, well, maybe a bridal shop. And so I found this bridal shop in the middle of central Michigan. It's in a little tiny town. It's in an old bank building that went under during the Depression. It's been in the same family since 1934. And it's in an old bank building. And the vault where the money used to be, that's where they put mirrors, and that's where the brides try on the dress they think is the one. And 100,000 brides have walked into that room since 1934. And so I wrote a book called The Magic Room, which is what they call the room. The Magic Room, a story about the love we wish for our daughters.
I love that you describe the town as having 1,100 residents and 2,500 wedding dresses.
Yeah, it might be more wedding dresses per capita than anywhere in the world.
And actually, how did you find out about Becker's?
Well, I live in near Detroit, so I wanted to find a bridal shop close to my home. It turns out it's 100 miles exactly from my house. I just started looking at bridal shops in Michigan, and as soon as I found Becker's Bridal, I knew I'd found the one.
Well, a fact in your book is that since 1934, as you said, the store served more than 100,000 brides. So how do the brides know to come there?
You know, it's sort of like the best-kept secret. Even in Detroit, brides don't usually travel out there because it's 100 miles away. But some families, you know, the great-grandmother bought her dress there, the grandmother, the mother, and they just find it. You know, it's truly out in the middle of nowhere. In fact, everybody that walks into the store, they have to use the bathroom when they get there.
How much time did you spend on site researching the book?
I spent the last year going back and forth there, and I picked 8 brides, and I followed their lives from the moment they stepped on the Magic Room pedestal until their weddings. And in doing so, I was able to tell the stories of their lives leading up to coming into the store and about their families. And then I tied in the story of the Becker family and how they went through the years in the bridal shop. And, you know, what we learned about the culture of bridal gowns in the last 75 years. And the hope was that as people read it, they'll think about their own daughters and their own lives.
We know. I loved one of your paragraphs. It was about Shelley, the current proprietress of the shop, and her feeling that mirrors are a reflection of the past and that our spirits remain in the mirrors with everybody else's. So when a bride looks in at the store's old mirror, she's connected to every bride who came before her. I thought that was so poignant.
That's beautiful. And, you know, as I said in the book, you know, if you go to Monticello, where Thomas Jefferson lived, he looked in that mirror that you look in when you go to his room at Monticello. So the same is true for these brides. You know, a lot of happy marriages happened in that store, resulted from the weddings that began in that store, and then, you know, some brides didn't make it to the finish line. But they're all connected.
Yeah. Can you share one of your favorite bride stories?
Well, you know, I didn't want to write, like, this Bridezilla stories and Say Yes to the Dress. I mean, those shows are fun, but I really wanted to think about the brides who were taking it seriously, the idea of getting married, and the families that didn't necessarily have an easy way to get to the store emotionally, or they some had tragedies in their lives. You know, one bride that I profile in the book, she tried on her dress, left the next day, and got in a pretty terrible car accident. She lost the fingers on her right hand in the car accident, but her fiancé stood by her, and she ends up getting married on time, and so that's a pretty touching story. I got another bride who's 40 years old. She said she had a million man march until she found the right guy. And so we didn't write about all 1 million men, but we came close. And then there's a third bride. Yeah, she, like her three sisters, she made a vow not to even kiss her husband until they got married. So, you know, it's a sort of religious family. I have an atheist in the book. I have a very religious family. We try to have a little a mix.
Well, did you see any bridezillas in Fowler, Michigan?
I did, of course. Yeah, it's tough. You know, but I don't. That's not the book I wanted to write. I mean, it's a little bit of that in the book. You know, at Becker's, the salespeople, they know, they can sort of tell how a marriage is going to make it by how a mother and daughter interact. If the daughter is snippy with her mother, what is she going to be like with her husband? And in fact, over the years, they had their own language in the store. In the old days, they would. They liked the bride, they would call her girly, like, oh, girly, you look so beautiful in that dress. And if they thought she was being a jerk, the bride, they would say, you know, one coworker would say to another, will you help this sweetheart get into a dress? Sweetheart was code for this one's trouble.
Yeah. Well, talk a little bit about the family. I mean, Shelley seems like an amazing person, but there's big history there. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, the bridal shop was started by Eva Becker. She was a tough businesswoman in the 1930s, and she ran with a tough hand. She wasn't, you know, all sweet with the brides. She just looked interested in selling dresses, and then it was passed on to her son and daughter-in-law, and then to Shelley. And Shelley's daughter, who's 22 now works in the store. And you know, it used to be a bride would come in, and in an hour she'd have her dress, 45 minutes, and that would be it. Now it's a big, long process. Brides go to different stores. They'll go for weeks trying on dresses. You know, they might try on 50 dresses at Becker's and then buy the dress for $50 cheaper on the internet. So it's a different world today in a lot of respects.
Mm. Well, one thing about the book, you had an amazing amount of facts about marriage. For example, I was shocked to learn that 25% of the first-time brides have children.
Yeah, nowadays, 7% are pregnant.
And more than 40% of children born in the U.S. each day are the offspring of an unmarried woman. I mean, wow, I never thought about that or kind of thought it was that high.
Yeah, and also, you know, 39% of Americans today, according to a Pew Research poll for last year, feel that marriage is becoming obsolete. But a bridal gown is really about hope. You know, it's about the hope for the future. It's about a hope for love. And I was trying to look at the possibilities in marriage and about what parents wish for their, you know, their young adult daughters.
It's a wonderfully sweet and poignant book with lots and lots of interesting statistics. So what's your next project? Are you even thinking about that yet?
You know, I've just written 5 books in 4 years. I just finished another book with Gabby Gifford, you know, the congresswoman and her husband.
Yes.
So that book took a lot out of me. That was actually written before The Magic Room, after The Magic Room, but it came out before.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to take a break for a while.
Your book was wonderful. I so enjoyed reading it. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Book Report.
Hey, thank you, Elaine, for having me.
All right, bye.